From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for April the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we're convinced the supreme law of the land is the answer. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. Furthermore, as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're bringing America back, taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. But it's even better than a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled Friday. It is, what do they call this thing, Good Friday? Oh, boy, the way it's Good Friday, it's a great Friday. And it's also, what, Easter weekend? Is that what they call this? Oh, man, what a celebration for Christians and for Americans all across this land. What a blessed opportunity. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. First, a recap of yesterday's show, then hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use takes flight. Kurt Crosby is back. So I played the song from Toby Keith, How Do You Like Me Now? There you go. Anyway, we're delighted to have Kurt Crosby back. He will not be back with us full time. The reason he left in the first place isn't really that he left. He just wanted a hiatus, a little bit of a break. He's been on the radio with me 25 plus years. He's also got his business to run. He's got, you know what, 11 children. He's got a bunch of grandchildren. He's traveling and taking care of his family, helping out his children. As they take some breaks from their lives, and he watches grandchildren and spends time with people and travels and runs his business, and he's working on some radio projects behind the scenes, and he just needs more time in his day. That's really why he isn't with me all the time now. But he will be back. He will be participating in the broadcast. We're grateful for that, and we do want you to buy raw honey, because not only will it support Kurt's family, but it will also be wonderful for you at your table. Tastes phenomenal. To get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com. 801-669-2211. Call or text Kurt at libertyroundtable.com. Call or text, or just go on the web, localhoneyman.com. That's localhoneyman.com. Anyway, so Kurt Crosby doing a great job, and he will be back. Yesterday, it was Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, and Brian Rust. Over the past 50 years, the Rust family and Rust Coins has been working diligently to help folks understand about precious metals. RustCoinAndGift.com doing a phenomenal job. We talked about the Honest Money Report. Gold was $1,723.80. Silver, down a bit, $24.75. You got to understand the truth. Silver doesn't go up and down really for the most part, folks. It's the fake dollar. If you don't believe me, go study other currencies against the dollar. Ours will go up while another currency will go down. How does that happen? How does that happen? And the answer is it happens because they're manipulating gold and silver prices, number one. And number two, it happens because gold and silver is kind of the standard that all the other currencies fluctuate against. We also talked about J.P. Morgan Chase to pay nearly $1 billion in illegal trading. That's the Washington Post. Yeah. J.P. Morgan admits spoofing by 15 traders. Bloomberg.com. Yeah, we talked about April Fools. Let me get this right. You've heard of the company Volkswagen, right? Well, they played games on April Fool's Day. They said they may be changing their name to Volkswagen, like a Volt, V-O-L-T, Volkswagen, instead of Volkswagen. It was a big old joke. And the news, mainstream people got caught in the, I don't know what you want to call it, April Fool's joke, peddling fake news. The CEO doubled down on Twitter, said it was true, and then Volkswagen said, oh, it's not really true. We're just kidding. Kurt Crosby says they ought to lighten up and, you know what, take a joke here. And, hey, what a great concept if they are moving forward with electric vehicles. Kurt's right on all that. Then Brian Rust brought up an important point as we started talking about vote fraud. He said, why don't we just call it a votes wagon? You can just drive by and vote. Amen to that. April Fool's jokes galore on the broadcast yesterday. Utah Jazz took off in a plane. They had a bird strike. A flock of birds hit the plane. It was especially bad, according to officials. They had to turn around and go back. What a scary scenario. I'll tell you that right now. Wow. We talked about Fox News contributor and former White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany. She's reportedly now going to be a co-host at Fox. And you know what? On one hand, it points to the revolving door in government and politics and news and stuff. On the other hand, you know what? You got to give a little bit of fair credit here. What if we had Trump people, Trump aware, Trump knowledgeable people throughout the news cycle? Would the news be different? I think it would be. And you know what? Kayleigh's done a pretty good job at taking on the press. So you got to give her some credit there. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live with Brian Rust. Hour two, Sam and Kurt talked about this AMAC.us special offer. Thank you for joining us for the premiere of Roe versus Wade, the movie. We hope you will enjoy the movie at a discounted price before it becomes available to the public. If you're a member of AMAC, like we've encouraged you to be, you can get a discount, like a 30%+ discount on the movie. Tremendous. We also talked about Utah starting new Utah driver license pilot program. They say whenever information is requested, you control what information to share. That's where they're pitching this driver's license, but I don't believe it in a second. That might be the way it'll start out. But eventually what they're going to do with the mobile driver's licenses is they're going to put your driver's license details online. It's going to be subject to hacking and all kinds of other problems. And what it really means is we're taking real ID, vaccination passports, Social Security data, IRS data, job-related data, health data, and we're mixing it all together into a mass government-maintained and controlled dossier on everyone in the country. It is disaster. Write it down. Remember who warned you first. All right, Nike is really mad. They sued over what are called Satan shoes. Yeah, the New York Times reporting on it and others. Nike suing these folks. The shoes are affixed with a bronze pentagram-shaped charm. Has Luke 10:18 on it, which refers to the fall of Satan in the Bible. Adorned the side of each shoe, there's also upside-down crosses. There's pentagrams on the shoelaces. They were selling these shoes, 666 pairs, for a little over $1,000 a pair, and they got them sold out in minutes. The Christians could never get that done. If I put a pair of shoes up for sale that were promoting Christian principles, I probably wouldn't even sell more than a couple of pairs if I'm lucky. It just goes to show who puts their money where their mouth is, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, and it sounds like a defeatist attitude, and I don't mean it to be, but I do mean it to highlight where we are. When are the conservatives? When are the constitutionalists? When are the Christians? When are the moral majority going to stand up and get serious? Sad to say, it's happening a little more than it has happened in the past, but I still don't see it happening in mass yet. We talked about UK judges slamming actress. Her name is Sayi Amuba, I think it is. With $480,000 fine, a penalty for her Christian beliefs. Yeah, she said she didn't want to demean religion, and she didn't want to do overt sexual stuff. And they said, you have no justification. Who do you think you are? And they literally fined her a bunch of money. This is what I'm talking about. We have criminal activity everywhere in the country. But we do have a little bit of good news. Goodwill employees were stunned. Yeah, the lady that was a Goodwill employee found. She discovered $42,000 hidden in a pile of donated sweaters. So that's pretty cool news. We also talked about a citizen's grand jury from Freedom Watch, Larry Klayman and crew, indicting the Bidens, they say. Again, I'm not really a fan of a lot of those citizen's grand juries because I believe a lot of them don't have proper moral authority to carry out their will. Trump floated the idea that the coronavirus had actually escaped from a Wuhan lab, slamming Dr. Anthony Fauci and or Fauci and Dr. Brooks. They said that Fauci spent U.S. money on the Wuhan lab in China. And we now know how well that turned out, Trump said. The nonprofit scientific research group, EcoHealth Alliance, they call it EHA, I guess, EHA or whatever, received a $3.7 million grant, along with the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, in 2014 to help with research into bat-based coronaviruses in China. This group routed $600,000 of taxpayer dollars to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And I guess they say it was in the form of National Institutes of Health. They call them sub-grants between 2014 and 2019. The goal? To help with the research into coronaviruses. So bottom line is Fauci's guilty as sin on this thing. Trump's highlighting that point. Now, are the use of COVID vaccines, experimental vaccines, unethical? It's experimentation, folks. Is it unethical experimentation? Jane Orient, doctor, asks the question, and she says, believe it or not, the vaccines can affect your major organs. We'll talk more in seconds on your radio.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Dr. Jane Orient saying, you know what, we're experimenting on people unethically or inethically. I agree with her, 100%. Of course, you got to ignore her. Anybody who doesn't agree with the mainstream government-backed global narrative, fake news, criminals, that's the deal. Pfizer vaccine, they claim, is safe for youth. Yeah, in adolescents 12 to 15 years old, vaccination led to a, quote, higher protective antibody response than even in adults. They claim it was 100% effective against symptomatic disease. 100% effective? Yeah. They say that it was a study of 2,200 adolescents and it was 100%. So here's my response. If these thugs, if these dishonest characters are so confident that the vaccine is safe and effective, then I've got one question for them. Why don't you then have the government jettison the special privilege protection that vaccine companies have? Why don't you jettison the vaccine secret courts? Why don't you jettison the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund that has already spent $4 billion since vaccines have gone wrong since the 1980s? And why don't you just jettison all that special protection and special privilege for the vaccine companies? And if they're as safe and effective as you think they are, why don't we become completely transparent about when the vaccines go wrong? And why don't we have these vaccine companies step up to the plate, as every other industry must do, with rare exception, and defend their position of, you know, the products and services and whatever they have are safe and effective, and prove it and let every case stand on its own in court. Because remember, don't hurt me, don't take my stuff are the two commandments for the rednecks. And you know what? If you hurt me and take my health, you're hurting me and taking my stuff. Why don't we just double down and create transparency on that? If you're so confident they're safe and effective, and if I'm peddling fake news, then you don't need special privilege taxpayer protection and funding and all these things. You don't need secret courts. You don't need all that special privilege to deceive the public on the topic. Let's just throw down for real. All right, stuff makes me mad. Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty, welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Good to be with you today.
Hope for the dead. Great Easter topic. Article written by Andrew, or Judge Napolitano, right?
That's right. This is good. Today is Good Friday, and so I thought it would be appropriate to take this opportunity to talk a little bit about there is hope for the dead. Now, Andrew Napolitano comes at this by way of the two of the intolerable acts of Parliament in the 1700s. The first was the Stamp Act of 1765, which required colonists to have government stamps on their documents that they had in their houses. It was enforced by British soldiers who used a general warrant issued by a secret court in London to rummage through the colonists' possessions, ostensibly looking for stamps. And these general warrants, like the ones that the FISA court issues in Washington, D.C. today, did not specify the place to be searched or the person or thing to be seized. Rather, they just granted general authority for the bearer to search wherever he wanted to search and to seize whatever he found, which is exactly what FISA warrants do today, in direct contravention to the Constitution, we might add. So that was the first intolerable act, the Stamp Act of 1765. The second intolerable act was the Revenue Act of 1767, just 2 years apart, those acts. The proceeds from the Revenue Act were to pay the salaries of colonial officials and the king's clergy, thereby securing their loyalty. So the Stamp Act assaulted your right to be left alone in home, in your own home, and the Revenue Act stole property from you to pay for a religious establishment. Now, these two laws woke up a lot of colonists, you might say, and 15 years later, they won their independence from that oppression. Well, Sam, do you think there are more people awakening to our current dire situation today than ever before? Is this not a silver lining to the government tyranny that's around us?
Yes, I think the answer is clear that more people are waking up than ever before. It is a silver lining. However, I want to give a little bit of caveat to this. I think people are waking up, as you wisely point out. However, I think people are waking up, if we're not very careful, they're waking up without hope, because they're going, oh my gosh, I now get it. This is horrible. They're literally stealing freedom from us all at an alarming rate. But then they feel like they're disenfranchised, that there's nothing they can do about it. And that's where I think that we really need to, in our talk shows and in our speeches everywhere across the country, as educators and as constitutional leaders, I think it's up to us to not only help them continue their awakening process, but then to give them hope, to point them to God, family, country, to help them understand that, you know what, we can, by our greater numbers, make a bigger difference than you think we can. Just because we've been kind of asleep at the wheel for so long, that doesn't mean that when we wake up, there's nothing we can do. There's plenty we can do and still do. Remember, America is unique, Lowell, in that other countries don't have the seeds for solutions in their very founding and in their very supreme laws as we do. The Constitution is the way back. The way to preserve the nation is to return to the principles that made America great in the first place, which is the moral goodness of the people. So we need to turn to God and repent, which is in the family, the fundamental unit of society, with a God-ordained marriage, male and female created he them. Okay, we stick with these fundamentals, and then we look to our country and say, hey, we got a supreme law that's full of checks and balances, vertically and horizontally. And if we use these principles, we can become great again. Other countries, and until they embrace the principles that we have in America and make those principles their supreme law, they're in trouble. There is a way for them forward by following our guidance and leadership, our light on a hill example, if you will. And I better say that for Easter weekend. We are a light on a hill if we're willing to step up and not hide it under a bushel, so to speak. But I submit to you that they're waking up without hope, and it's our job to give them hope and point them to the real solutions. So as they wake up, they have appropriate direction and guidance that, you know what? Yeah, I know we're in dire straits. I know it looks bad. I get it. But I trust in my God, and thank heavens through God, we have been given guidelines and principles that are effective and work. And all we need to do is start applying them. And the greater number that we can get to apply those principles, the sooner and faster and easier the recovery will be. And so I want to be very clear and say, yes, it's a silver lining, and yes, people are awakening, but we better be careful that we take the opportunity to really give them direction when they wake up so they know where to spend their time, their efforts, their prayers, their hard work, their money, their blood, their sweat, their tears, all of the above things. And I hope I didn't take too long to answer your question, but I hope that provides context as well, sir.
Oh, well said, Sam. And I truly like that and believe that people who take control back of their own turf at a very local level will have more hope than those who just sit down and watch and complain the things happening on the national scene or the global scene, for example. I mean, these things that are coming at us from the globalists, You and I can do almost nothing about that, but we can walk to our city council and our school board meetings. We can make a big, big impact there, because so few people can make such a big, big difference in local politics. Well, today,
now Napolitano made a point that I really want to highlight that starts this whole awakening process off, and as we educate people. Free will. Start out there, because that's the key. When you wake up, you got to understand your free will, and then you got to understand what to do with it. Lol.
I like that, too. Yeah, he wrote this. Freedom is the ability of every person to make personal choices without a government permission slip. To exercise free will. I'm still quoting Napolitano. Free will is a natural characteristic we share in common with God. He created us in his image and likeness, as he is perfectly free. So are we. And still quoting Napolitano here, when the government takes away freedom, whether by fiat or legislation or referendum, it steals a gift we receive from God. It violates the natural law and the Constitution, and it prevents us from seeking the truth. Freedom is the essence of humanity. No one can achieve potential or happiness or truth without it. End of quote. Yeah, so absolutely great sentiment there from Judge Napolitano. In fact, it reminds me of something Tom Woods often says, that life is more than just existing. He says, life is living. So I think, Sam, you know, what's one thing that you miss the most right now because of the government's policy response to the threat of COVID-19?
You know, I read that question that you asked me and had a little bit of time to think about it. And at first I was saying, oh, I miss just the ability to move freely about. Without being harassed about masks or, all these different things. You got to stay away from everybody. And how dare you hug somebody or shake somebody's hand. You shake somebody's hand and you feel super guilty. And at first it was those things. And I do miss those things. But I got a greater answer than that I'll tell you right after the break that I miss the most. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to reflect. It's time a year later to say, what do I miss the most and why? And what does that say for our society? We'll talk about it. As Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, unfolds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The death toll has risen to at least 48, with dozens more injured after a train carrying 490 people derailed in Taiwan. The train was traveling in the eastern part of the country when it went off the rails in a tunnel. Rescue crews have been continuing to work to free passengers trapped in the cars. As the border crisis continues, Senator Joe Manchin thinks it's past time for lawmakers to work on immigration reform.
Sending that message that we're not going to be taking people into this country until we get our ability to make sure we're able to do it and do it right.
The West Virginia Democrat visiting the southern border on Thursday and arguing he sees a human crisis there. The March jobs report is out, with the economy adding 916,000 new jobs in the month of March, the unemployment rate edging down to 6%. This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, but you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Relief payments from President Biden's American Rescue Plan go out today to some people collecting Social Security and other federal benefits. The IRS saying the payments are directed at those who didn't file 2019 or 2020 income tax returns and didn't use the non-filers tool last year. The IRS saying most payments will be sent electronically and received by April 7th. A court rules on two states having a water dispute.
The state of Florida alleged that Georgia uses too much of the water that flows from the Atlanta suburbs to the Gulf of Mexico. The Flint and Chattahoochee Rivers in Georgia joined to form the Apalachicola River at the Florida line. Florida said that its neighbors' overconsumption is to blame for the decimation of their oyster industry. The court rejected Florida's claim, saying they failed to make their case, ending a long-running legal fight between the two states. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio, and he asked me a serious question. What do you miss the most now that the tyrannical tyrants are literally doubling down a year later on the coronavirus and global warming and racism and whatever else? They've literally destroyed your society under the name of, quote, social distancing. They've become very antisocial, to say the least. And what do you miss the most? And at first I thought about it and thought, you know, I miss the ability to give somebody a hug or a handshake, or spend time with people, because you just feel guilty if you're in society and you give somebody a hug. You're like, oh, well, look around, make sure that people going to come unglued if I hugged somebody or shook somebody. And at first it was that. And I thought, you know, that's horrible and I miss that. And that is true. But I thought of, a more important answer to your question. This is not something that we just answer flippantly. We truly think about and reflect on the question that Lowell has asked. And as I reflected on that question, I will say this. Here's what I miss the most. You ready, Lowell?
You betcha.
Here it is. In the past, when we've had a crisis in America, let's say it's a war, let's say it's a famine, let's say it's a natural or man-made and or natural disaster. When something bad has happened, you look at 9/11 as the quintessential example. We literally turned to God. Even those who weren't really normally attuned to that, we're willing to say, you know, we need to turn to God. We need his protection. We need to feel his love. We need to set aside our political differences. We really, and it, you know what? Maybe it wasn't long enough. I agree. But we have done that through American history. This is the first time we've had a massive problem, disaster, whatever you want to call it, cataclysmic event, a pandemic, whatever, and, you know, you can say it's overblown. I agree with all that, but nevertheless, that's the way it's being pitched. This is the first time that I know of in my lifetime in an American history when we've had a massive event like this, and we really haven't turned to God. In fact, we've used the government to literally prevent people from turning to God. So I miss that we used to be a God-based society and a God-focused nation. Our whole nation was founded upon these principles of you know what, turn to God. He is the author of your liberty. He is above government. And now we've literally said, you know, vaccines, trust in the arm of flesh, don't go to church, don't worship, don't, you know, and if you do, you'll get fined, and let's separate the people. And so we've really taken away one of the fundamental principles of the gospel is meet together oft to fast and to pray and to spend time with one another and receive strength from one another. And it's often compared, these religious services, to logs on a fire. And when we're together, we have tremendous warmth and power. And when we get separated, we get cold and eventually we go out kind of thing. And we need one another to remain faithful and bring us into remembrance of our God and our covenants with him and et cetera, et cetera. And so I miss that we as a nation now, for the first time, have really not turned to God anymore. When a disaster happens, we have forgotten our God. And I miss the most when we turned to our God. And the proof in the pudding is there's new studies coming out all the time now about religion saying, hey, people aren't even really involved in religion anymore. It's less than it's ever been. And it's going to get worse as the generation gap and the sexual perversions and all this continues. And so I miss the most that we are not willing as a people now. There's individuals, obviously, that are still willing to turn to God. But as a people, we've decided that we've forgotten our God completely this time, Lowell.
Wow, there's my answer to your question. Deep, yeah, a deep and wonderful answer, Sam. I had not thought of that myself. Here I was thinking about, you know, missing a basketball, for example, working out, you know, three mornings a week at the local, you know, ward house, a church building where, you know, where I go to church, and just missing that for, you know, the camaraderie there, the physical exercise, of course, the camaraderie that I enjoy among my fellow, you know, my neighbors, my teammates that I play ball with, and just missing that a tremendous amount because, I don't know, that just brought so much joy, so much satisfaction and growth, you know, and kept me fit physically as well as mentally. It's, you know, it's a release from the stresses of the day. I mean, I think about nothing but basketball when I'm on the court and just playing, just having a great time. I'm there for the exercise. I'm not there necessarily to win, there to have a good time. And, you know, I just miss that. But that was very, I don't know, thinking about that for myself, it's kind of selfish. You know, when you're, and here you are, Sam, thinking altruistically, thinking that we as a nation have forgotten our God. And that's really, really true, too. And so I really appreciate your answer. You're thinking big. You're thinking what's going to bless the nation? What's going to make the biggest difference for us collectively as a people here in our nation, which would be to return to our God, particularly on this Easter weekend, Good Friday, Easter weekend. What a great opportunity to reflect and renew our commitment to turn to God and to point others in that direction where we have influence, where we have that possibility, those opportunities to do the very same.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's be crystal clear. Therein lies the solutions to our problems. And in my opinion, Judge Napolitano hits on this same point. Easter means that there's hope for the dead, Lowell.
That's true. And I thought as I read this column, thinking of, you know, they crucified Jesus because they worried that he would start a political revolution. Well, he started a great revolution indeed, but it wasn't political. It wasn't, you know, physical in nature. It was spiritual in nature. And in that respect, Jesus was the greatest revolutionary figure in the world history. I mean, he is the center of world history, and he's a revolutionary. but he didn't do that to gain power. He did that to revolutionize our thinking and to realize that we can have hope after death. There is hope for the dead, and then therefore there's hope for the living. But we must be free in order to fully live, and therefore let us faithfully endeavor, Sam, to preserve what liberties we have and work to reclaim those we have lost so that we might live more fully this life that we're given right now, Sam.
It is my humble hope to point people to Christ, ladies and gentlemen. I can't solve the liberty problem unless I do what God Almighty, the author of my liberty, asks, which is to repent and turn to Him. And if I do, He's going to protect me and heal my land. That's a biblical promise from God Almighty to me. And I am grateful to acknowledge that promise and then point people in the direction of what we can do to secure those blessings. You know what? He says what we need to do. And if we do what He asks us to do, God keeps His promises, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear about that. But you know what? Some are saying goodbye, American liberty. Paul Craig Roberts writes an incredible column pointing out what we're sadly doing as well.
Yeah, he points out this COVID passport idea is the road to serfdom. There's really no evidence that a COVID passport would do us any good anyway, but the establishment is not interested in the facts. They're not interested in real, true science, but they just are spinning fake news and spinning fake science. For example, he talks about Florida. He compares Florida with several other states. A large proportion of Florida's population is elderly and is overweight, which is the very demographic of those who die most from COVID, right? And so for the past year, Florida has not been under a lockdown or a mask mandate. It's basically wide open there, and fortunately, and you know, hats off to Governor DeSantis for making it so. And so no one would think that Florida, we would believe that Florida would have a very high death rate given their population of the elderly and the overweight. But that is not the case. Believe it or not, Florida has 154 COVID deaths per 100,000, and that's smack in the middle of all 50 states' rankings. New Jersey is a very lockdown. They have almost 300 deaths per 100,000. New York, 1.66 times higher than Florida. And Massachusetts and Rhode Island, the COVID deaths are 1.60 times higher than that of Florida. So, and these are the numbers that come from official data. So the thing that we can conclude from this is that lockdowns and mask mandates are pointless. They don't work. But despite these facts, big government is working with tech companies who smell the profits to be made from a vaccine passport system, which they allege is the only way to return to normalcy. In other words, quoting Paul Craig Roberts here, if you want to get out of jail, you will have to give up your privacy. End of quote. Well, Sam, so why is it that tech companies are going to want your data?
Partly there's big money in it, partly there's control in it. They love both.
Well, because it enables them to sell their products more effectively if they know their customers, if they know their marketplace, right? And as a customer on the internet, it's kind of nice when a business caters to my interests. And so there is some advantage to that, but there are some disadvantages as well, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, one of the greatest think tanks in modern America, on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
We're talking to Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, about Goodbye, American Liberty, an article written by Paul Craig Roberts. And he's really making the point that, you know what, you go for this, quote, vaccine license, permission, card, whatever incarnation they're trying to create, this passport, whatever word we're going to use. Before you know it, it'll be a vaccine passport mixed with a Social Security dossier, mixed with your health records, mixed with your tax records, mixed with your driver's license and your voter records, mixed with your right to keep and bear arms records of how many guns you have, etc. They'll basically take the Department of Vehicles databases, the coronavirus databases, the health databases, the Social Security, every database under the sun, put it all together, and they'll have this massive dossier on you. That's what the government is building, by hook or by crook. And Paul Craig Roberts is saying, hey, we go down that road and Goodbye to American Liberty, and I think he's spot on right, Lowell.
I do too, Sam. In fact, I watched a clip from Naomi Wolf yesterday. It's just a 5 or 7, 8 minute clip where she talks about this very thing. Now, Naomi Wolf is an avowed Democrat, I believe, and she's very disappointed that Biden is pushing this and wanting us to go down this path. She says, "I am not overstating this. I can't say it forcefully enough. This is literally the end of human liberty in the West if this plan unfolds as planned. Vaccine passports sound like a fine thing if you don't understand what these platforms can do. It's not about the vaccine," she says. I'm still reading her quote. "It's not about the virus. It's about your data. And once this rolls out, you don't have a choice about being part of the system. What people have to understand is that any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem at all. What that means is that it can be merged with your PayPal account, your digital currency. Microsoft is already talking about merging it with payment plans. Your networks can be sucked up. It geolocates you wherever you go. Your credit history can be included. All of your medical history can be included." End of quote.
They can build a China-style social credit capability in there too, Lowell, and everything you say and do will be used against you, my friend.
Yeah, this is creepy, Sam. So Robert concludes his column this way. He says, "Allegedly, the U.S. has had 30 million COVID cases. Where does this number come from? Well, it comes from financial incentives to hospitals to report every death as a COVID death." And he's so right about that, Sam, because, you know, hospitals, they would get more money for any patient that was a COVID patient, and they would get more money for every ventilator that they used on a patient. And, of course, ventilator deaths were in the high 90 percentile. So that's why there's so many deaths, because there's money tied up with it. And Paul Craig Roberts, he finishes out his column. He says, "Has the public noticed that this year there's been no flu season?" Well, what's the explanation is that the flu cases have all been conflated with COVID cases in order to multiply the level of COVID infection. See, I believe that to be true, Sam. And also, and finally, he says, 18th century Americans valued liberty. They were the give me liberty or give me death crowd. But 21st century Americans, not so much, evidently. Their acceptance of the lockdowns proves their readiness for the gulag, end of quote. And what do you think about that?
I think it's spot on right. I think Naomi's right on this point. I think we need to really be careful, ladies and gentlemen. Let me explain something really important really quickly. Technology is neither good nor bad. And this ability to have all this incredible technology and keep track of all these things and have all this knowledge and data and everything is a really good thing if it's in the hands of righteous, good, moral people. Okay, you can do family history with it. You can really find patterns in national health problems with it. You can really help people out in many, many ways if you have a good, honest, moral compass about you. But as I mentioned, technology is neither good nor bad. It just exists, and it's in the hands of who's administering it or collating it or whatever words you want to use to describe the access to and the manipulation of and then the response regarding. Okay, when it's in the hands of evil people, I'm telling you, it'll come of nothing but evil. All right, so you need to understand that, ladies and gentlemen. You could say that we're overreaching and overstating this, and my response is biblically in Revelations, we're told that you won't be able to buy or sell anything. Now, I'm not claiming this is the mark of the beast. Some are, but I'm not. What I'm saying to you, though, is this. We are certainly on the road to them controlling what we can do with our agency, our ability to choose. And they want us not to be able to choose God. They want us not to be able to choose the traditional family. And their agenda, their evil hand is, you know what, the magicians now not even hiding the magic tricks. They're in your face saying, we are coming for your agency. We are coming to destroy your liberty because we know better than you do. And we're going to use technology and everything else at our fingertips to accomplish that goal. And it's up to you and I to reject that narrative, Lowell.
The sad thing about it, Sam, is that politics is downstream from culture. And the very things that we're seeing our political people do, people call them leaders, or some people call them officials. I don't know how much leadership they actually provide or how official they really are, but whatever they're doing is a reflection of us, the people. You know, it's not speaking of you individually, Sam, but of us collectively, the people. You know, giving up our birthright to our liberty for the mere hope, the fleeting hope of safety, right? I mean, that's what we clamor for now, which is very unlike what our colonial fathers and mothers clamored for. They clamored for liberty. They clamored for freedom. They said, you know, live free or die. That was their motto. And what are we clamoring for today? Well, we're clamoring for safety from COVID. We're clamoring for government handouts. We're clamoring for save me through this bailout from losing my business. That's what we're clamoring for. And therefore, we're losing our liberty. And we're losing, you know, the hope that we ought to have in Christ, right? I mean, if we think that we are so secure that we don't need God, then we truly will lose our souls. But if we go about every day realizing and understanding our need for God, our dependence on Him, not only for the resurrection, but for life today, for hope in living today, you know, then we will, you know, that's what we need to do. I lost my train of thought there, thinking about, you know, how important it is that we train our minds and our hearts and put it on God, because that really is the source of our liberty. If we lose Him, we lose our liberty. But if we will think of Him and put Him first, then we will retain our liberty. I really like that scripture that you pointed out earlier from Chronicles, Sam. So true, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear on this point as well. You know what? We're talking about goodbye American liberty if we the people don't stand up. That's true. And that's a negative message. However, you know what? We're giving a warning and a witness, if you will. And we're saying to you that free will is the natural characteristic we share in common with our God. He created us. He gave us our will and taught us to be free. Continues to teach the principles that make men free. All right? And as Lowell Nelson wisely warns us, you know what? Our leaders or our elected officials or whatever you want to call it, politics is downstream from culture. Okay, the reality is, look, our servants, is what I'm going to call them, reflect we the people. And if we want to solve the problem, we better restore election integrity because that's how they represent us. So let's finish on the restoring election integrity discussion key to this conversation, Lowell.
Absolutely right, Sam. The John Birch Society has a web page devoted entirely to the restoration of election integrity. And I've read the whole page. It is so excellent. You can find it at jbs.org/vote/solutions. And the reason, well, it is the most important political thing we can do. Because the election is how we get our public servants into office. And if that has been corrupted or is corrupted, then we don't have the ability to put into office the public servants that we want there. And if we lose that, then we've just lost the republic. So to reclaim the republic and to secure the republic, we have to restore election integrity. Now, I attended Highland City Council meeting Tuesday night of this week and spoke against vote by mail. This vote by mail was introduced in 2020, just 1 year ago, in the state of Utah, where they passed a bill, HB 36, which mandated that elections in Utah are to be done primarily by mail, right? Now, I didn't even know that that thing passed. I think it was snuck through because not a single legislator cast a vote against it. I don't think they knew what they were voting for. I really sincerely believe they didn't know. Because
that's the way they like to do it, buddy.
Yeah. Some legislators are against vote by mail. I know that for a fact. And so we need to turn back the clock. We need to reverse this somehow and go back to, I'm okay with absentee ballots if you have a good reason for being absent the day of the election. But I want to go back to what we did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, where you go and cast a paper ballot on election day. It's counted by the election clerks that night, and by the way, they check you in. They know you, and you know them because they come right from your own neighborhood, and there's no corruption of the election. There's no boatloads of ballots coming in at the last minute to be counted by some machine run by a computer whose programmer can hack that system. See, I'm a programmer, Sam. I know there is no single system that is truly impenetrable. I can hack any system you've got, Sam. Because I'm a programmer, and I know there are lots of hackers out there that can do what I can do, to tip an election. So we need to get rid of the machines. Just get rid of them. Go back to a paper ballot. And there's a lot of things here that they list on their webpage that we ought to do to restore election integrity. But my question, Sam, is how do we do that? Here in Utah, how do we do that in your state, wherever you live, in Georgia, Tennessee, Arizona, I don't care where you live. How do you do that? Do you do it incrementally, like a little bit at a time, or do you just shoot for everything on this webpage? We've got to go back to that. What do you think, Sam?
I think that I know people say that, we're in a hurry, we got to crank this out, or we're done before we can ever get started. I understand that view. I disagree with it, but I understand their point. It feels like it's prime time for meltdown, and I understand. But I say the only way back is incrementally. And the reason I say that is because you're going to have enough of an educational apparatus to educate the people and to get them involved, and then we can incrementally make changes. We can only make changes as fast as we educate the people. Otherwise, if I made all the sweeping changes today, tomorrow they'd change them. They'd vote me down. They'd shut me down. If you gave the Chinese liberty tomorrow, they'd literally throw it away because they've been raised and all they know is communism. Okay? So you can't force a horse to drink water. You're going to have to incrementally move forward, and you're going to have to educate the people as you incrementally make those changes. There is no other way back, and that's the only way they've destroyed our liberty. I disagree with their agenda, but their tactics have worked, and we better take a page from that playbook. Incrementally and education are the only ways we can accomplish the goal.
I love it, Sam. You're right on point, in my opinion. Thanks so much.
There he is, Lowell Nelson. By the way, he's not going to be with us on Fridays anymore. Lowell fights for liberty and travels and does so many things for the sacred cause that he's just running out of time, kind of like Kirk Crosby. But he will be with us every single Monday first hour on the broadcast, as he has been for years. Lowell, thank you so much, sir. Godspeed. Have a delightful Easter weekend as you celebrate God, family, and country.
Will do, Sam. You too. Thanks so much.
It is all about the sacred cause of liberty. God save the Republic. Happy Easter.